It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. And if you got your Bibles, let's open up to the Luke Gospel chapter 22. The Gospel of Luke chapter number 22. I appreciate everybody minding the Holy Ghost. And listen, I say this all the time. If you ain't familiar with around here, we don't come on Sunday to get out. We come to get in. Amen. And I'm not interested in starting at 11 o'clock sharp and leaving at 12 o'clock dull. We want to come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes you can do it in an hour, and sometimes it takes three. Amen. And however long the Lord wants to meet with us, I'll tell you, it'd be awful rude of us to, as long as the Lord's meeting with us, Brother Jerry, look up at God and say, I don't want to meet with you. No, I'm talking about the God of heaven come down. And yes, the stirring in our heart, yes, the helping us. It seemed like to me like it'd be an awful, foolish decision for a little old mortal man to look up at God and say, I'm going to cut you off right there. Looked like to me like it'd make a lot of sense just to stay as long as God wants to talk. Amen. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. And that'll not be where we take our text, but that'll be where I'll start from. It says in Luke's Gospel 22, said it last week, and I'll say it for a few more for the Lord to help me, in verse number 31. Luke's Gospel 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, I like that, amen. Said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, said, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He said, but I have prayed for thee, hath thy faith failed not. And when thou art converted, he said, strengthen thy brethren. And look with me, if you will, just turn one page over if you got a Bible like mine. And I'll read this in chapter 22. And this is what we find. Verse number 60. It said, and Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and he looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. How he said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Notice verse 62. It said, and Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you this morning, and God, we sure are thanking you for coming by and meeting with us. I thank you, God, for stirring us the way you had. I thank you for the Sunday school hour. I thank you, Lord, for the choir singing. I thank you for the testimonies. I pray, Lord, tonight, and oh, God, one more time, I pray that you'd be with us and that you'd help us in this preaching time. Help us, Lord, not to say nothing dumb nor foolish nor out of the way. God, I pray today that the word of God would find a safe lodging place. I pray, God, for the saints that are here, and God, that you would strengthen their hearts in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, we need to be anointed. Have that fresh unction that nobody can preach without. Help us now, Lord, we do pray. In Christ's name we beg and ask. Amen. And amen. And again, I'd say this morning, this week, look in Luke's Gospel 22. We are all reminded. Every time I turn to Luke's Gospel 22, I am reminded of the fact that this is Peter's worst day. There's no doubt about it. This is the worst day Peter's ever had. My friend, this is the greatest failure that he ever made time. And here it is all these years later. We all open our Bibles to Luke 22, and we read over and over again about the greatest failure that Peter ever made. I wonder this morning if it was a little different. And maybe instead of Peter's life and it being Peter's greatest failure, and what about if it was ours? I mean, what about if God had chose by the Holy Ghost to find you on your worst day and to pin that thing down and to let everybody read about it? I'd say this is, friend. I'm not even sure I want you to know what I think on my best day, amen, and let alone on my worst day. And right here we find that Peter's in his worst day. But thank God, Brother Kobe, that even on his worst day, I'm glad the Lord didn't just wash his hands of it. He didn't just turn him out. But thank God, he said, amen, I prayed for thee, amen. And Lord, listen, friend, and we understand it by the help of the Holy Ghost that after he's denied, after he's went out and wept bitterly, and God gave him a second chance. Let me just stop right there. Anybody in here thankful that God's gave you another chance, amen? And there's a few folks, and I'm glad for it. I'm glad, thank God, friend. There's been some times that I wasn't lovely. There's been some times I wasn't where I ought to be. But I thank God for the grace of God that's greater than all my sin. Amen. But listen, friend, he told Peter this. He said, when thou art converted, he said, I want you to strengthen thy brethren. And last Sunday morning we looked at how he wanted to strengthen the faithful brethren. But if the Lord will help us for just a little while this morning, I want to preach on this. I want to preach on how the Lord, I had him to strengthen the forgetful brethren. Amen. I don't know about you, but listen, friend, I would to God, these times that God gets to deal in my heart, Brother Savage, and I think, oh God, I wish I could just store that up and just the way it felt right then. I mean, whenever God really gets to doing something in your life, and my friend, would it be a blessing to be able to just store that thing up? But the truth of the matter is, we're leaky vessels, amen. The Bible said, wherefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I'll tell you what I know about all of us. We're all leaky vessels, amen. You know how I know that about all of us? Because the night we got saved by the grace of God, we wasn't trying to get out and go eat. We was trying to worship God, amen. Here's how I know it. When we come to the house of God, the night we got born again, we wasn't worried about who was sitting around us. We was worried about the God above us, amen. But you know what happens over the course of time? We just forget, amen. I mean, we forget what it was like. I'm talking about Kevin. You put yourself in there if you're with me. But oh, listen, these times that I get to forgetting who God is, I get to forgetting what God's done, I forget to forgetting how God's helped me, how he brought me out. And listen, everybody else does too. That's why Peter said, or God told Peter rather, he said, when thou art converted, he said, strengthen thy brethren. Open up with me, if you will, to 2 Peter. That'd be where I preach the message from, if the Lord will help us just for a moment of time. In 2 Peter here, we find that Peter uses this terminology. He uses the terminology, remember, over and over again. I got thinking about this. Ain't nobody that knows just how terrible it is to fall. Probably quite like Peter. The Bible said when he went out and the cock crowed, he said, then he remembered. Amen. He said, oh, I remember. Brother Joshua was over it in the youth choir singing. You remember how it felt like? I mean, now listen, for some of you, you'll not never get to hook up with me. But for some of you, will. You remember what it felt like? And whenever you felt when you first really let the Lord down. You remember what it was like when you went there and that heart sank on the way down. Have that heartbeat that was in your chest. Because you had promised the Lord. And you said, Lord, I'll never fail you. And you said, Lord, I'll go all the way with you. And the first little thing came your way. And you found yourself failing the Lord one more time. Oh, I remember what it's like. Hey, listen, there's things even to this day that happened way back in the 90s. And whenever I get to thinking about them, they still hurt my heart as much today as they did all those years ago. There's things that whenever I look back on them, I think, I can't believe you'd even do that. I can't believe
saved friend. I mean, they still hurt me as much today as they ever have. But oh, listen, friend, I'm glad for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that came by where I was. I took all my sin and washed them white as snow. Amen. I want you to watch this. And the first thing I got to thinking about, how Peter gets to strengthen the brethren. And listen, those that have forgotten. How many of you forgot how good God's been? I forgot how real it is. I'll show you a few things that he says here in the 2 Peter chapter 1. And the first thing I thought about was this. And sometimes, friend, we have forgotten what it's like to be a sinner that's converted. Watch what the scripture says in the verse number 1. He said, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, and to them that have obtained my precious faith. Bible says, with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 4 says this, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, and that by them you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped of the corruption that is in the world through lust. I tell you, listen, Peter comes around and he says, well, if I'm going to strengthen the forgetful brethren, I know where I got to start. I got to remind them of what it was like when they got born again by the grace of God. You remember that night, amen. I mean, now listen, I'm not talking about how we sung that song and hey, with some folks, you know, they dusted off their suits and hey, you know, they stood up and they thought, well, out of obligation, I raised my hand one more time. And you know, they just sort of like that. But I'm talking about this. I ain't even talking about the outward showing. Do you remember what it was like that night? And God hung you out over hell. And my friend, and you knew, and apart from the good grace of God, you had absolutely no hope. And then right in the nick of time, that sweet Holy Ghost come by your way. And to thank God, you didn't sign a prayer card. And you didn't repeat after somebody. But the Holy Ghost of God had personally escorted you up to the divine Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord saved you and washed you from your sins in his own blood and escorted you back up into the presence of a thrice holy God. Do you remember that? Amen. Oh, listen, I'll tell you this. I'm around folks all the time, and they're gospel-hardened people, and we all have a tendency to be that way. But oh, listen, I'll tell you this. I've been around folks. Brother Doug, I've been around them, and I get to thinking sometimes. I'm talking about hard men. I mean, men that, you know, they come in the house of God. You know, they ain't never going to, they're just going to stare. I mean, hard face. Yeah. And then, Brother Bobby, I get talking to them about, when did the Lord save you? Yeah. And their mind goes back. And the boy, I talked to him. I mean, I've seen the hardest man you've ever seen. And them big old hot tears start coming out of their eyes when God starts squeezing that heart. And they get to remember it and what it was that God done for them. And when he took them back, I can go back to July 2nd, 1988. And as a 7-year-old boy, I remember in myself what it was when God came by my way. I didn't get up that day looking to be saved. I was a little hellion. They thought I'd be a serial killer. And I might have been. But the grace of God come by my way. And God came to where I was. And God came down where I was. And every time I look around, I stand in a pulpit and I thank God. It's because way back yonder on the backside of Buffalo, a holy God came to where I was and put me in the family of God. Amen. Do you remember when God done that for you? See, he's trying to, he said, I'll stir you up by way of remembrance. You got to start with remembering your conversion. Amen. Thank God. Listen, if your testimony, I've been around folks, they say, well, I guess my testimony is I've always been saved. If you always have been, you never have been. Amen. And now look here, it don't work like that. have the Lord Jesus Christ. God doesn't have grandchildren. I mean, that's not how this thing works. It's always a singular light. Hey, you'll find in the generation of Jesus Christ, he's only a singular generation. He only has sons and daughters, and not nieces and nephews, and not grandchildren, granddaughters, and grandsons. And my boys can't get in because of me. And thank God they can't get in because of the church. And thank God I'm glad what God done for me. It's real on the inside of my heart, and it ought to be real on the inside of yours. And every now and again, when you go down the road, when you're by yourself, you'll say, "Preacher, it's been a long time since I got stirred up. And do you remember what God done for you?" Amen. He said, "You remember whenever he pulled you out?" He talks about a few things that done it. He says, "They that have obtained like precious faith." Boy, I like that. You know what that word precious means? It means of great value. Has precious faith. He goes on down there to those that have received the exceeding precious promises. In 1 Peter 1:18, there's the precious blood. In 1 Peter 2:5, he's a precious stone. I mean, thank God when Peter gets to talking about it, he said, "I don't know if you know it or not, but the work God done that night, from the precious stone to the precious promises, unto the precious faith, everything God done for your soul was precious." And I'll say that ought to be enough. Amen. If he never does nothing else. And there's some folks sitting here and you're thinking, "Why in the world would you get that excited about where it is? About God saving you?" I don't know why anybody would, do you? I don't know why anybody would come to the house of God and get excited about the Lord saving them. That wouldn't make any sense. Wouldn't make much more sense for us to get excited about, you know, an old dead hog that's been stuffed full of air. Amen. Goes up and down 100 yards. Make much more sense for us to jump up and down about that than to come into the house of God and to get a little excited about the fact. Now listen, maybe you wasn't a sinner like I was a sinner. Now I remember what it was, Brother Rick, to think, "Man, I'm getting ready to die and go to hell. I'm getting ready to die." I remember, look here, I remember thinking I'm going to die and go to hell where everybody wicked is. And to listen, I was wicked. But oh, thank God, look here, as they sing that old song, "The only fire I'll ever feel, it's burning in my heart." And thank God, friend, I woke up this morning not going to hell. And right now, I'm not going to hell. When I lay my head down at night, I'm not going to hell. And if I don't wake up tomorrow, I won't be in hell. Amen. If that's all there is, that ought to be enough. Stir us up every now and again. He's trying to stir them up. I'm seeing it's not working on some of you this morning. Not stirring them up either. You know why? Listen, I want you to listen to me. Y'all listen. He was to remind them. And you can't be reminded of something that you don't already know. And you can't have something stirred up that you don't possess.
Amen.
Amen. That's good preaching right there. And the reason some folks never got stirred up, never possessed it. And so the Holy Ghost, when he gets to passing by, they don't know it. Somebody ought to help me a little more on that one. I'm going to say this to you, friend. Hey, there's a lot of places that I don't understand what's happening. But whenever the Lord shows up, there's nobody got to tap me on the shoulder and say, "Hey, guess who's here?" Amen. And thank God his spirit bears witness with my spirit that we're the children of God. Thank God. I don't have to hear from Brother Savage. You ain't even got to hear from me. If you're saved by the good grace of God, when somebody as big as God shows up, you know it. Amen. First thing ought to stir us up. You remember when God saved you? I mean, I'm talking about, can you go back? Not look here, I don't care about that. You know, June the 1st at 3:32:30 a.m. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, can you go back to that place where God, I'm talking about where God, the God of eternity, came down to where you was and for the first time said, "Hey, you're a sinner. You're who I came for. You're who I died on Calvary for." And for the first time you lifted up your eyes, looked over at Calvary, you lift up your head and say, "That was for me." That was for me. Amen. You can have it up here, but thank God it takes the Holy Ghost to put her down here. Amen. And when the Holy Ghost puts her down here and it gets real, and now all of a sudden you ain't even got to flinch. I know when my day's coming, it's going to be on a Sunday, and I wish Saturday was over. So they say Sunday, and thank God somebody touched me. I'm saying that's when God done it for me. Amen. And in my body, I may be at 1564 McBroom Street, but in my mind, I'm at Sugar Grove Baptist Church, kneeling down at an altar with my granny kneeling next to me, the old preacher up there. You say, preacher, listen, can you remember? I'll tell you this. I remember that night just like it was yesterday. I remember when God came down my way. And Joanna, I remember when God came to where I was. I could still this very day and take you right to where I met the Lord Jesus Christ, where it transitioned and it went from up here to down here, and this from down here went to up there. I can take you right to the very spot. Amen. Stirs me up, whether it stirs you up or not. I'll tell you the first thing he writes them, you ought to get stirred up about a sinner's conversion. Yep. Second thing he does deals with them in 2 Peter chapter 1 is how we ought to get stirred up about a saint's commitment. Verse number 5. He said, besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, and to patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And if you have these things in abound, they make you that you shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Christ. Notice what the next verse says, but he that lacketh these things, he said, is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his own sin. Notice the next verse, verse 10. Wherefore, the Father, brethren, given diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Amen. You know what Peter's saying? Peter's saying, now listen, there was a time that I wasn't stirred up about what I ought to have been stirred up about. And I wasn't adding to what I ought to add to. And Holly, if this Bible didn't say this right here, I would never believe it. I'm being honest with you. I want y'all to listen to me. The Bible does say that it is possible for folks to be forgotten, to forget that they had ever been purged from their sins. And if the Bible didn't say that right there, Josh, I'd never think it was true. But I'll tell you what I do know is true. I do know that you can get so far out of fellowship with God that you can think, oh Lord, I don't know if I ever knew you. I know that you can get so far away from God, and it can get so cold. You say, preacher, how do we do that? Well, you stopped adding things. God gave you faith. Is that what that Bible says? And then you're supposed to start adding to it. You're supposed to add virtue to it. That's not a word we use too much, Rodney. You know what virtue is? It means the willful obedience to the truth. It means the voluntary obedience to what God said. You know why some folks thank God they ain't never stirred up about the Lord? Is they never let God's word rule in their lives. You add virtue to faith. Then you get more knowledge. You know what you do with that knowledge? You bring it under virtue. And you bring it under faith. And you know what that knowledge does? It brings temperance. You know what temperance does? It brings patience. You know what patience does? It brings godliness. You know what godliness does? It brings brotherly kindness. You know what brotherly kindness does? It brings charity. Amen. And thank God. And if you have these things, you'll never fall. Now here would be the question. Do you have those things? Now look at me. You can't talk about loving the brethren and not love the church. Is that all right? I say that like that. You can't talk about, you look at me, friend. You can't talk about how much you love me and then run around and talk about me real bad. That's not brotherly kindness. It's not brotherly kindness. I'll tell you what I've watched many of folks do in this thing. They get to thinking so much of themselves and so little of everybody else. Not going to be long. Take heed. Y'all listening real good right here? Take it. If a man think himself to be something, it doesn't say when he's a few things, you're pretty good, does it? It said, wind, he's nothing. Wind is nothing. Now, can't even think himself to be something when he's nothing. Lest he'll fall. I'm talking about Peter's trying to get folks stirred up. He said, I tell you what ought to stir you up. You ever get to reading about somebody? And you get to think, I get to reading about David Brainerd. David Brainerd getting on his horse, heading up north back in the 1800s, and he's riding on that horse, and he's got tuberculosis. And he falls off his horse in the middle of a snowstorm, caused tuberculosis, and he's about laying there, and he's about half dead. And whenever he finally comes to himself, the first thing he thinks of is, Lord, I'm sorry that I failed you. You ever read something like that? You ever read something like Polycarp standing up there and them getting ready to burn him at the stakes and him saying, 86 years have I served the Lord and he's never wronged me once? He said, how shall then I fail my Lord and my King? You ever read about something like that? You ever read about old William Tyndale and John Wycliffe and some of them men that they took them up and they burned them at the stakes? Listen, I was reading about a fellow the other day they called the modern day Peter. On two different occasions, he denied that he ever knew the Lord. But he finally got his heart right with God. They brought him up to the stake, getting ready to burn him. Said his wife stood by him, said, honey, whatever you do, don't deny the Lord again. Whatever you do, don't deny the Lord again. Hey, said, as soon as we burn him, we're drowning you. She said, honey, keep up the faith. And they're not going to. Listen, I get to reading about that, and it stirs something on the inside of me. Here we are standing 2023, and folks is upset because somebody said something on Facebook. Are y'all kidding me? Said they don't like me down there. Really? Is that what it is? Is that what it takes to shipwreck us, is to come to the house of God and say, you know, I go to church with them and they ought not have said what they said about it. So instead, I think I'll just go to the house. Is that really what Christianity's come to? I'm going to say this, friend. They ought to be a little more to it. It stirs on their heart to say, God's worthy of us going on. Amen. Amen. Peter's stirring folks up. They said, there ought to be something like, listen, he wanted them to get stirred up about a sinner's conversion. He wanted them to get stirred up about the saints' commitment. But I want to say this to you. You know what we all really get stirred up about that many folks ain't stirred up about too many times anymore? Look here. Well, I mean, I'm just talking about what he said. Second Peter, you got there. You with me. Watch this. I'll be done. Some of you said amen right there. Here the Bible says, 2 Peter chapter 3, said, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you might be mindful. The Bible says, be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of the apostle of the Lord or Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? I'll tell you what ought to stir us up is that the Savior is coming again. Amen. It's not a happenstance. It's not a hope so, thank God. I believe that probably most believers don't believe he's coming anymore. But nonetheless, friend, it doesn't matter whether he finds faith on this earth or not. Hey, look here, if every Baptist stops looking for it, everybody at Amazing Grace said, I don't think he's coming. You will not hinder the Lord from coming again. Amen. He's coming. And you hear me say all the time, when he comes, I'm going. I hope you are. I'm saying this. He gets to talking to these folks. He says, y'all's about ready to fall. He says, I want to give you a few things that ought to help you. He said, one, your commitment to Christ ought to stir you up. Your conversion ought to stir you up. But his coming. Now listen to me. Let's just be real honest right here. If the Lord came and found you today, and today's it. Trumpet sounds, saves gone. I'm asking you this. Are you satisfied with your body of work for Christ as it stands today? I'm talking about, are you satisfied with what you've done for the Lord if he come today? You walk out of this church today, and say, Lord, if you come today, I'm well satisfied with the life that I've lived for you. You know what I probably suspect about all of us? The answer is probably no. But I'm going to tell you, just because there's answers no doesn't mean he's not coming. Here, watch what your Bible says. I'm getting ready to be done. Listen, you just get ready to come play. But I want you to watch what he says in 2 Peter chapter 3. He says in verse number 10, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, blameless. I'm going to tell you this, the Lord's coming. And how he comes is how he'll find you. No, there'll be no more witnessing. Everybody with me all right there? I'm talking about when the trumpet sounds, whatever you've done for Christ is all you'll be able to have done. And if you can hang your hat on that, well, I wouldn't even get stirred up. But if you can't look at your life to this far, listen to me, I ain't trying to hurt nobody. God don't care about your degrees. Everybody ought to say amen a little louder on that one. He's not impressed with all the doctors, and he's not impressed. And if you are one, thank God for it. God's not impressed with your degrees. He's not impressed with how good you shoot a basketball. He's not impressed with what sort of iPhone you got. God's not impressed with what's in your 401k. Not impressed by any of that. But the Bible does say in Revelation 22, he says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me.
Amen.
To give every man according as his work shall be.
Yeah.
I'm saying this, if that don't stir you up to want to do something for Christ, do something. Something. Do something. Something ought to stir us up down in here. Let's stand to our feet. Listen, you come. I've cleared my heart. I've given you what I feel like the Lord hath for us.